Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 84 from September the 4th of 1993. We are still in Clintwood, Virginia, Clintwood Elementary School. I don't remember if I said it last week, but they drew 310 people to this building, according to the records that I have. But I have some other info for you all as it pertains to most of the demographics in these towns where we try to figure out how a family gets by making just $18,000 or some meager amount of money per year. And I'll get to that in a second. First, Harper's reading through something that I sent him, but I'm going to ask him how he's doing today. How you doing, Harper?
I'm doing great, Michael. How are you?
Smooth opinion.
Yeah.
Bullet Boys, Smooth Up In Ya, Jimmy Del Rey. It seems to be the proverbial answer to everyone's to our question, what should Jimmy Del Rey's theme song be, according to...
But now, every time I see him, when I start watching this stuff, that's what pops into my head now.
I was going to say the same thing. As he starts going tonight, I was like, am I the only one that started singing that song in my head? As he's...
Nothing wrong with that, pal. All right, Doc, how you doing? And then I got to get some stuff in. Got to get some
shit. Well, I was going to ask if we thought we could even do this because we spent our pre-show planning prep meeting. It turned into a Bullet Boys behind the music and shit. So we, you know, if we were ever going to have the official band of BTT, I'd really think we could do better than the Bullet Boys, but maybe not. Maybe this is where we are in life.
No, so, dear God, I would hope we would do
well,
better.
You know,
than that.
Just this morning, I clued you in on the fact that they did a rousing cover of the OJs for the Love of Money, and your dumbass thought it was Bones, Thugs, and Harmony.
Yes, when you said for the Love of Money, and then I looked it up, I'm like, oh, yeah, the OJs. Once I heard it, I realize it. But okay, so I got an email from someone who asked to remain anonymous, so here it goes, about the Smoky Mountain show. First, he says, Mike, thanks for doing the Smoky Mountain podcast. I love the shows, but I have to mention something about the money made in many of these poor towns Smoky Mountain runs in. The people here making $18,000 a year, it's a scam. It's not that bad. They either get disability or one member of the couple gets SSI or disability. One of them works just long enough to get a tax return. And then he goes on to say, I think it's 3 months of the year that you have to work to get a tax return. With four kids, they get like $8,000 in a tax return, plus probably $1,000 to $1,200 a month in food stamps. They can use the stamps, or they can sell them for 50 cents on the dollar. It's a real shitty, shady life, but fourth or fifth generation poverty people have learned to work the system. I'm sorry, but that popped me. Everything's a work, brother. Everything's a work. There you go. There's the work. Anyway, he went on to send me, and if he did say I could use his name, I apologize. I could have swore he said remain anonymous. But he then went on to send me this article about something called the Pop Train in Jackson, Kentucky. And so long story short on a Pop Train, basically what they do is they use their food stamps to go buy loads and loads of soda, 12 packs of soda. And then they turn around and sell the soda to stores. The reason that's a bad thing is because they undercut the prices of Coke, Pepsi, etc., who were selling to the stores. So they go to these convenience stores and they'll sell the pop, the soda pop 12 packs for, say, I don't know, they sell it to them for $3 a pop. But Coke is charging them $4 a pop. So guess what? The convenience stores are getting a better price, and here they are making money off of their food stamps. So that's something called the Pop Train in Jackson,
Jackson, Kentucky, in a way that people work the system. Now, I want to point something out to you all where this pop train thing is occurring. And I'm not trying to accuse any demographic of stealing money, because Lord knows there's enough crime, whether you're white and black in this country, and there just is enough crime. But in Jackson, Kentucky, where the pop train is on a roll, is 98.19% white. So either the ethnic 81% of the population of blacks, Indian or whatever, are all the ones making the money off the pop train, or we got white criminals too. So there you go. There's the pop train lesson of the day. Doc, you read this when I sent it to you. What were your thoughts?
This is, first of all, liberal fake news. We can't trust these numbers.
And for the record, this is not us trying to be political. It's just we're having a little fun with this storyline.
We're trying to understand the area with which we cover, because we get told all the time that we don't get it. Now, here's the thing. So when I get political and y'all saps and marks get hot, let me tell you something. If I ran the world, and maybe I should.
No, you shouldn't. The country, fuck that.
If I ran the country, and I definitely should, we'd try to make America really great where people wouldn't have to stoop so low to do such dumb shit.
Let
me
tell you something.
This is
a fucking hell of a hustle.
I don't fault them for trying to put food in their mouth or meth in their teeth or whatever it is they need to do.
See, bro, this is some John Cena hustle loyalty respect level shit right here.
And I'll tell you this, and let me just cut through all this with some sensible fact. In this scenario,
this popped me so much.
In this scenario, it's 98-99% white. But we could go over to Mike's side of town and find poor black people running similar hustles to get their money up too, and trying to get down there and get a 40 and a Lucy so that they could, you know, just get through their day. Poor people up against it are going to figure out a way to get shit done. That's just whether they're black or they're white. I've been trying to tell you people for damn near 3 years on this show, black and white don't matter. It's green, and either you got it or you don't.
That's why everything's a work.
There ain't no reason poor black people and poor white people ought to get together, combine their hustles, and go overthrow the man. Now, that'd be something I'd watch on TV.
Yeah. Harper, any thoughts on the pop train?
This is great, man. I'm on good side of this.
Maybe these shitheads are smarter than we gave them credit for.
Damn.
That's nice.
I wonder how many 12 packs of Coke that fucking buys.
Well, I mean, they're not using the whole amount on it, but, I mean.
Why not?
I'm looking at a shopping basket, and.
Right.
And there is 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 layers of 6 12 packs. So that's 30 12 packs right there. If they're selling them for $3 a pop.
Right. How many cans?
So it just made $100 of tax free money, dude.
So here's the thing, the corporation comes in, and you know that they're going to stand for this for about 2 seconds. Yeah. Coke, Pepsi, you're like, wait a goddamn minute.
You're right. Right.
We've looked up our regional some regional sales manager got fired because that territory's Coke sales were down. Pal. Not going to happen. All they got to do, and man, I can fix this. If I was Coke, I could fix this in 30 seconds. But you know what? I'm rooting for the little guy here, so I ain't going to say it.
All right.
I mean, like, here's the thing, dude. I grew up in a.
There were no white folks
in my neighborhood, and I saw a lot of hustling like this from people who were generally good people that just were scraping from the bottom of the barrel because they grew up in extreme poverty. And I mean, a lot of them are doing much better now. Kids I grew up with that, you know, ended up being successful in life, but coming up, man, they had the scrapping claw. So I'm not trying to judge anyone, man, but this is so funny shit. I'm sorry, I'm laughing at it, but when the listener sent me this, I came unglued laughing at the pop train. I think I sent it to Doc right away. I was like, dude, you got to read this. Anyway, well, let's keep going. Look, we asked about 4 weeks ago for some names from Jimmy Del Rey's finisher maneuver. Here are a few that the hashtag BTT Army sent in on Twitter. At Leo Wyatt 85 says the whole kit and caboodle. At Thin Man Within says, too bad the money shot was taken because that would have been a great one.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a great one. At Anspog Troy suggested the splooge salt. I actually kind of like that one.
Mm. It does create a visual.
Yes.
God.
Yes, it does. At Jern_E_Cornet, he's a Cornet parody, said, the hair flip, the poon salt, and the smoky mountain ya girl. I kind of like the smoky mountain ya girl.
I'm on smoky mountain ya girl.
Yeah. At BTT_Doc, I think we talked about this on Flagship, the official Doc Turner parody account of Book in the Territory mentioned also the poon salt. So him and Cornet parody went with the poon salt. But at BTT Doc also said the moon, and then in parentheses, he's got sexual as AS salt. he also said
that's too much. That's too much.
Yeah, it's too much. He also said the Gigolo Jam, pretty good one.
That's good.
At Mitchell Johns 18, who became a patron a few weeks back, said, call it the Jiggle Salt, which that is actually pretty good. Two more from at BTT_Doc, and he said the Jiggle Salt, which I think we had someone else mention that too, and the Meth Valley Driver.
Needs to stop being me on Twitter and start going to my job and being me there so I can kick back and relax.
That was pretty good. We also got from at Unconvinced Ray, he mentioned that Gigolo's finisher should be called the Sex Offender or Juicy Jeff. Mm. At Blue_TheCake says Del Rey's move should be called. Okay. What did you say?
You know what Bukkake is, right?
Yes.
What?
Well, why don't you tell me? Because I'm not sure.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Let me finish this right now. Blue_the_cake says Del Rey's move should be called the FNP, which is flip and pound, because that's what he does to those Armstrong girls.
What is it? Face down, ass up.
That's the way we like the fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Let's get into the show this week. We got Dutch and Bob Cottle. They open things up. Bobby Blaze is going to get his first heavyweight title match against Primetime Brian Lee. Bullet Bob is on Down and Dirty. And since Dirty White Boy retired as the Beat the Champ TV title, or with the Beat the Champ TV title and some money in his pocket, Ricky Morton will face Smooth Opinion Jimmy Del Rey in a match for the Beat the Champ TV title. Harper, hit the line for me. Smooth Opinion. Hit it, Harper.
Smooth Opinion.
It's early.
It's early. His vocal cords haven't quite matured yet for the day. He hasn't had his mouth on some snatch yet. That'll warm up the vocal cords. All right. So anything from the opening, Doc?
Morton and Del Rey for the Beat the Champ is nothing to sneeze at.
No, it's pretty good. Harper, anything from you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good match to watch.
Just the opening, there's a bunch of good stuff here. I mean, Bobby Blaze gets his first, you know, heavyweight title match against Primetime Brian Lee, and then Morton and Jimmy Del Rey. Yeah, a lot to watch here.
I can't imagine that Morton and Del Rey are going to go to a clean finish, having the fact that this is Smoky Mountain. Yeah.
Well, we will certainly see as we get into the first match, and Bob Cottle says, let's go to the ring, the Bruise Brothers versus Robbie Eagle. And who the hell else? I did not write the second name.
Yeah.
Who else is out there with him?
They didn't say his name, I don't think.
Okay. I didn't write it down, so I don't know who the fuck it is. But the Bruise Brothers come in. They cause more havoc. Sullivan joins the commentary booth. And I don't have timestamps on Sullivan in the commentary booth, but he's talking crazy as hell during the commentary.
So I didn't either, so I just covered this by saying three words. Sullivan is insane.
Yeah. He's literally talking out of his mind, and I could have actually played the whole match for you to get some, you know, feedback on it or get an understanding of where he was coming from. But it was insane. Harper, anything before we go to the promo that the Bruise Brothers and Kevin Sullivan cut?
I love the line where he says, "It's like comparing a rubber ducky to a battleship." I forgot what he was comparing, but I like that shit the way I fucking wrote it down.
You're gonna use it on Wildcat commentary?
Yeah. And this was Robbie Eagle's first win. because he got disqualified.
Well, technically, he's actually won a couple if you use that.
Oh, really?
Which next week, they just completely avoid the fact that he's won. I want to say Robbie Eagle's been on, this is like the second or third time he's been on the end of winning by DQ in a tag match because the Bruce Brothers have beat the fuck out of them.
Okay.
And once again, the ref, Flash, whatever his name, is in there. He takes 5 minutes before he throws the goddamn match out after the Bruce Brothers just pummel these guys. But it is what it is. But Harper, he technically gets a win as a team. He hasn't won in a singles, but you're right. This is like the second or third time this has happened. Now, we go from that to Kevin Sullivan. Oh, go ahead. What you got?
When the Bruce Brothers took one of those chumps outside, and they went over the railing, did you see that white trash teenager just standing there, like, trying to act cool as the Bruce Brothers were, like, right next to him? Man, I was like, Bruce Brothers should have just pushed that kid 20 feet and sent him flying.
I didn't see that. I'm going to go back and watch it.
Snot-nosed piece of crap just trying to stand there and look cool for some. Man, the girls ain't there to fuck you, bro. They're there to get the wrestler's tights.
You mean like when Gordy sent that dude flying in the
sport tour? That's exactly what I was hoping for. And did you hear Sullivan say something to Caudill about how he was a liberal? Liberal, even though Caudill's a conservative.
Yes. I heard him. See, that's the thing. I don't know if we realized it back then. There were political digs on TV, but I guess we were too young. We just didn't realize it.
They were poking at kayfabe with inside jokes too.
Right. Yeah. But you know, it is what it is. We'll go now to Kevin Sullivan and the Bruce Brothers. There's a short promo after the match, after the Bruce Brothers technically lose, even though it was by DQ. Here's the promo.
Let me tell you about the Bruce Brothers. They're good men. They're nice men. And let me tell you, Jimmy Cornette, I'm sorry. I don't like to ease into anything because of a friend's hardship. But if they need guidance, and all these guys do need his guidance, they're untamed animals. They're untapped. And besides that, they have never got a fair shake in the justice system. First, you have to have a body to be convicted. That was all circumstantial evidence. But Morristown, September 11th, when they shaved the head of the Rock and Roll Express with a straight razor, they may slip and shave real close.
Oh, yeah. And also, let me tell you something. You got the money to take care of you. You got your daddy to lead you around and make sure everything's okay. Now we got somebody. We got somebody right here that's going to make sure we go where we need to go. When we do the things we need to do and take care of everything we need to take care of.
Yeah. All these guys need is guidance.
Not from someone like him. We'll be right back to him right after this.
Doc, any thoughts, or did your bubble guts take you away?
Huh?
What? I'm here. They drug the mic off with them when they were leaving. Caudill's like, ho, I need that, pal. So let me make sure that I have this right. So are they just with Sullivan now, or is he just filling in because Corny's in bed with stuffed animals? I'm confused.
Well, I think that's what we need to wait to see, because we know Corny's hurt and Corny's got the neck injury. So I think we just got to wait to see.
Okay.
I mean, it's a change, but remember, I mean, we know Corny's hurt, so we got to see how things go.
Okay.
Anything else?
No.
All right. I will agree. If there's one thing the Bruce Brothers might not need, it's Sullivan on their side, because Jesus, he's already a devil. I can only imagine what he's going to do with these two big guys. Harper, what'd you have?
I love how Kevin Sullivan is all of a sudden like Johnny Cochran. He's like an attorney. Or he's like, if there's no body, there's no evidence. So fuck you.
It's true.
Very true. And he looked good standing by him. They all got the black tights. It looked like it fit.
Yeah, they do. They're matching. He's 4 feet. He's four feet tall, but...
Hey.
I agree. I mean, he's not. I'm exaggerating, obviously, but they're two big dudes. But I did laugh when He's sitting there. The Bruce brother's sitting there with a mic, and he's screaming into it, and Sullivan's cupping his ear like Hogan, like he's trying to, you know, trying to hear him a little bit better. It was kind of crazy, but good stuff. I guess we'll have to see where how this Kevin Sullivan and Bruce brothers thing develops, or if it does develop, or if it's just, you know, for when Corny comes back. Now, I'll keep going now, because next up we got a Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright, followed by Smothers, and then Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright again. So let's listen to this part. I may break it up into two, but here's the first part of it here as Bob Cottle introduces us to hear from Tracy Smothers, who was injured, you remember. Here it is.
All right, fans, we'll be ringside right now. The Dirty White Boy and the legendary Mr. Ron Wright. And you, I've never seen such wide smiles and grins on your face as I have in recent days.
Let me tell you, I'm about a period man now after getting that Tracy Smothers out of the picture. He's out of action. We got rid of him forever. I'm just happy I'm...
Well, wait a minute. I want to read you. I got a note right here from the doctor of Tracy Smothers. It says that Tracy Smothers' knee ligament is not completely torn as first thought, only a partial tear. We recommend that Tracy stay out of action for 6 weeks, and then he may return. Now, I tell you, wait a minute. We got a taped interview with Tracy. Watch it right here.
All right, I stopped it for a second to break this up a little bit. And do y'all want to comment, Harper, on Ron Wright's reaction right here before they throw it to Smothers?
Double up on his heart medication.
Yeah, fuck, man. What the fuck, dude? I thought it was gone.
Did you see how he's sitting there, like, rubbing his hands together? Like, yeah, we got that sumbitch. He's scoring without the ball, and then... And then the news is broke to him that Smothers is going to be back sooner rather than later. And he's all of a sudden, he takes his glasses off and then looks at the piece of paper that Bob Cottle's holding like, you no. Doc, any thoughts on all that?
I just hope he's got the good stuff and not the generic stuff that, you know, I hope he's been back up to New York to get the good stuff recently.
No shit. All right. So with that said, let's hear from Tracy now, who is sitting on a couch, you know, off-site somewhere with a hell of a T-shirt on. Let's listen to Tracy.
Yeah.
You've all seen the tape now, and you all know what happened on Fire on the Mountain, Rage in the Cage, August 14th. Everybody knows that the Dirty White Boy and Brian Lee, they hurt my knee, and they thought they collected the bounty. They thought they got the job done, but they didn't. Because you know why? I'm coming back. Yeah. It's just a partial tear, guys. Doctor told me I'd be out 6 weeks. We'll be out 3. September 12th. Knoxville, Tennessee. A September to remember. I'm coming back. Dirty White Boy. The man that burnt the rebel flag. And prima donna primetime Brian Lee with Tammy Witch with a capital B. Title match. Yeah, I've asked the commission, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, to make sure that Dirty White Boy does not interfere. He's going to be in a cage at ringside. And let me tell you why I can come back in 3 weeks instead of 6, guys. Right here. My old knee brace. I hurt my knee, tore my knee up in high school playing football, and throughout my athletic career, I've had a bad wheel. Well, White Boy... Prime time, you did your homework. Tammy Witch, you did your homework. I give you credit. You did everything in the world to collect that bounty, but you couldn't get the job done. So you went back and see where the weakness was. You found bad will. Let me tell you something. I got a heart as big as the God Almighty, and it'll be a cold day in July before some nothing happening dirty white trash and some no good backstabbing prima donna primetime and a little dude, 10 Lizzie Huzzy tramp put this old country boy down. It's going to be a September to remember. September 12th. Oh, it'll be a rage, all right. Yeah. I'm naming my own rage because, White Boy, you're going to be in the cage. I can spit on you. I can kick at you. I can do whatever I want to when I'm beating Brian Lee's brains out because, by gosh, that's what I'm going to do. September 12th. Brian, you say you're 6'8", 300 pounds, 6'8". Don't be late. I'll be waiting on you. September 12th at the Knoxville Coliseum. Be there.
All right, Harper, you want to comment first on Tracy here? God, I laugh every time I see him.
Did y'all see that when it starts off, the camera view, when he's just sitting there with his legs wide open, and the camera is just too low, man. It's just like, it was like the start of a bad porno. He's just laying there, he's just sitting there with his legs wide open.
Oh, yeah, yeah, looking at it now.
Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck? And then it finally, I guess the guy straightens up, and then he fucking lifts the camera up.
I see it now. I went back.
Yeah, that's all I kept thinking, like, bro, lift the camera up, dude. Lift the fucking camera up.
He sure does. He's got that shit shot on his crotch. Okay. Uh-huh. I did notice that. I did notice it. Anything else, Harper?
He's fucking coming back to kick some ass, bro.
Yeah.
6'8", don't be late.
Let's remember, too, $20,000 was already paid out to Brian Lee and Tammy. So let's keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Since Tracy was supposed to be out. Doc, what did you have from this?
I thought this was fantastic.
You can tell it's unscripted. That's what I like about it.
And he throws in some catchphrases at the end, but it just feels more heartfelt and real and just...
Well, when you're mad at someone, you tend to stutter. Like, if you're really, really angry with somebody, your anger overloads your... ability to express how you're really feeling sometimes. And that's what I take from this. Because, I mean, he stumbles through it a little, but you're mad, man. He fucked up your knee. You should be mad.
Yeah, he's hurt, man. Yeah. And the other thing here is I was like, man, 3 weeks don't seem like – that's like – that don't seem worth it for 20 grand, man.
Yeah.
Well.
That's not even a month.
Right. Well, let's
– But hold on. I don't think we should gloss over the fact that that was one hell of a good promo. I'll just spoil an alert. I think his promo next week is even better. And, there was a time in that valley where we were like, Smothers he's kind of fallen into a trap. Man, I think he's rejuvenated with this feud. And he's cutting good promos again. And he's just trying to be Bob Armstrong's long lost son and cut those good promos to get the people ready.
Well,
talk him in the building.
That's right. With that said, though, so now we go back to the arena or gym, and now we need to hear from Dirty White Boy, Ron Wright, and Bob Cottle. Here it is.
Be there.
Well, and Tracy says that he can beat 6 weeks, that he can do it in 3 weeks.
Okay, I ain't a believe in this. That prime time was supposed to put that man out of commission. I demand they come out here and give me my money back.
I told you not to give that little tramp one thin dime. I told you to give it to me. No, you wouldn't listen to me. Now we're out 20 grand.
I can't believe it. I want my money back. You tell them
you
I want my money back.
You gotta listen to me from now on. I told you.
They're hot fans, and I think they got a right to be there. Out $20,000, and Tracy's mother says 3 weeks, and he can make it back. Don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Trouble in paradise, Doc. Trouble in paradise.
I want my money back.
Yeah. He got played by a woman.
Bruh, you got she played you like a fiddle. Anything else, Doc?
Well, the interesting thing there is Dirty White Boy said our money. I thought Ron cashed in a life insurance policy. That would be my money.
I love how a year and a half ago, Ron was looking for money for his surgeries. And all along, he had a $20,000 policy he could have cashed out to get the money for his surgeries.
Why you got to bring up old shit?
Yeah.
But now he's able to cash out his life insurance, and he pays it to somebody else who didn't injure this man. It's just a nice little twist on that, and something I thought
about. This is like the song "Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap Gone Wrong."
Yeah,
you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
You know that song?
Not really. No, I don't know it. I don't have a fucking clue. That's what you're nice. Talking about.
It's an Aerosmith. It's an Aerosmith song.
No, it's not.
Come on, see,
It's AC/DC, Jack.
Well, you got me on that one because, of course, I wouldn't know. Harper, what did you take from this promo?
He got played.
Yeah, he got played like a fiddle.
He got played. Yep, and now he's fucking pissed.
Oh, he's mad. He's real, real mad. He's angry. He's angry.
Yeah. So we've said on here what we would do to one another, the pain and torture and just crime we would commit to one another for fractions of that much money.
20 grand is a lot of money, bro.
Yes.
Especially back then for those people.
I would shove you through a wood chipper for far less.
Well, that's really nice of you, Doc.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay. Anything else from that?
No. I mean, this is not over by a long shot. This is going to have spiderweb implications that ripple throughout the promotion, to be sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything more because you're absolutely right.
And let me just tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. Play the local one because I want to hear Sonny's promo here because this shit was good.
Yeah, I got it queued up. So let's go to Sonny and Primetime Brian Lee in a local promo. Here it is.
With the dirty white boy in a cage, Tracy's Mothers against Primetime Brian Lee with Tammy Finch.
The Big Apple Grapple? An apple festival? Who thinks of these things?
Mayberry? Where are we at? Andy Griffin?
The only entertainment these people have in their lives are playing with apples, and we have to go there? This is nauseating. Brian?
Tracy Smothers, you ought to know about apples. You ought to know a lot about the farm. That's all you are as a country boy. But I tell you what, I'm going to pick an apple just like I'm going to pick you, and I'm going to turn you right into applesauce.
Friday, October 1st, it's the Big Apple Grapple. You're going to see the Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies, and it's Apple Brawl 93. It's a 14-man battle royal. Yeah. The winner gets $5,000. The last man eliminated gets tarred and feathered, and Jim Cornette will be in the battle royal.
Hey, I'll guarantee you one thing. Jim Cornette will not be the one to get tarred and feathered. But I'll tell you this. He may be the one to get that $5,000 to go around three ways. And there's a few other people that, hey, I could think of a couple people I could like to tar and feather, like Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, Tracy Smothers, Country Bumpkin. It doesn't matter who's left. It's not going to be the Heavenly Bodies or Jim Cornette. I can guarantee you this. At the Apple Brawl, we're going to walk out with $5,000, and we might go buy all the apples we want. What do you think, Jimmy?
Hey, let's buy some apples. Let's do it.
Okay. Doc, you wanted me to play it, so you go first.
It's short, but I'm telling you right now, that was Tammy's best promo yet. We say it every week, she's getting better, but it's like, I have the world champion, and you're sending me to a place where they play with apples. This is beneath me. This is bullshit.
This is exactly what fucking wrestlers say when they get in a car and they're going to a show. They're like, where the fuck we going? We're going to the what? Fuck, how much are we getting paid for this shit?
And the answer to that, without knowing the exact dollar amount.
Yeah,
The answer to that question is always, not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, Harper's not lying here. I mean, that's pretty much a fact. She basically just repeated what she said in the car with Candido and Primetime Brian Lee when they were riding to the town. I mean, she just regurgitated what they were complaining about in a shorter version. Because they, in a car, she probably went on for about 10 minutes on that topic. And was like, Jesus Christ, he's fucking hillbilly. I mean, she ripped the hillbillies a new one. She probably cut a better promo in a car. That's the funny part. But to Harper's point, she's right. This is exactly what she was saying on the way to the Big Apple Grapple or whatever the hell it's called. No offense to the people that live near the Big Apple Grapple or whatever. Anyway, this is funny. But to keep going here, Doc, you got anything else?
Mm-mm. I just thought she was superb there.
Well, she was good. I must agree. Well, we go to the next segment of the show, and Bob Cottle and Dutch are going to throw us to an interview with Dennis Coraluzzo. Now, I want to say something because I don't know if Dennis' son listens to this show. I know he listens to the 605, and I post the shows on the 605 Mothership page. Anything we say here is strictly regarding Dennis's character. I'm not trying. Dennis Coraluzzo is obviously deceased now, but he is sleazy in the best way possible in this promo, and it's a compliment when I say how sleazy he is. With that said, let me play Dennis's promo now, and then we'll talk about it on the other side.
Then's the mysterious president of the WWA, Dennis Corallusa, right. Finally has got a face. This tape was sent to us from New Jersey, and folks, we're airing it just as we got it, just as it was when we received it. Watch it right here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the World Wrestling Alliance, Mr. Dennis Corallusa.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm totally ashamed of the way Smoky Mountain Wrestling is treating our great suicide blonde champion, Chris Candido. I'm reporting to you here from our spacious executive office suites in the WWA Towers. You know, we are the premier wrestling organization in the world, not only in the United States, but in the world. But I would like to say, in the time Chris Candido has been in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, he has been called a crybaby. Smoky Mountain also refuses to recognize his prestigious diamond-studded, gold-plated championship belt. Besides this, they have tried to make him drink from a baby bottle and also wear a diaper. But now, believe this, the worst thing imaginable, SMW is forcing him to get into a country whipping match with Tim Horner. I would expect this from you inbred, backwards, jerkwooder, dirty, barefooted, moonshining hillbillies. It is a very barbaric and uncivilized act to put a man in this position. You should be like us in New Jersey. We settle our problems in a businesslike and civilized manner. As always, the winner argument is the winner, and the loser ends up next to Jimmy Hoffa in the Meadowlands. Tim Horner, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, take notice. I'm going to be forced to take some type of action if you do not stop harassing the great Chris Candido. All right. Edit this damn thing and send it off. And you tell Guido if that little doesn't stop bothering Chris Candido, he's going to wind up in a pair of cement overshoes. Gabish?
Gabish, Goomba. We'll start to eat them for good.
Harper, you want to tackle this one first?
I love this desk.
Oh, it's great.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because in my mind, that is exactly what your desk looks like that you're recording this from. That was my first note. This is what Harper's desk looks like that he's recording at, in my mind, was my first note on this.
No, he's classier than this, I would imagine.
I hope so.
Okay, keep going, Harper. What else you got from this?
It looks like they're in an office at like one of those trailers at a used car lot.
And yeah.
It just looks so sleazy and so perfect.
That's right.
God, this was great. And I bet you that's probably what the desk looks like. Like, they didn't have to throw shit like on the desk. They're like, nah, bro, don't fucking clean it off. It's fucking perfect.
Well, I will say this. I think they added the empty Coke bottle because it's one thing to have paperwork. Cause I agree. Like I remember when I had a desk back in the day, my desk was generally at work pretty clean, but I can remember times where there's just papers everywhere, but there were like no empty Coke bottle just laying there. I would imagine that they added that part, but the papers probably there, but anyway, it's sleazy in the best way possible.
Here's the thing. Here's the work. You got a lot of papers on your desk with a bunch of writing on it, so people think you're doing a bunch of good work.
I don't think anybody's thinking this guy and his character is doing good work. I think the purpose
I'm giving everybody a hack out there for their own office jobs.
Oh, okay. Well,
put a lot of papers out there. People think you're busy.
Harper, anything else you got from this?
This was great. I didn't expect this.
This is
fabulous. I thought I was going to be like a real guy, kind of like fucking Jack Tunney, you know, when they used to have him on air.
Yes.
Nice suit and looked all professional.
Yeah. Nah, you getting the shit of the shit right here is what you get.
You get Guido, the fucking killer pimp.
For
fucking risky business.
Yes, sir. You sure are. Okay. Doc, you go.
Okay, so we've heard from our friends, the 605, they used to do the Dennis of the Week stories, and we've heard all these things. And we've heard, Brian and others refer to Dennis as a
real life Tony Soprano type, character wise. I'm not gonna.
Right. I got you.
So that's certainly in my mind there. My other thought was, if all that is true and that this is his scene, how ballsy was it for Paul Heyman to double cross him with the NWA strap? Because I'd be afraid to double cross somebody that's like connected or something.
I don't know. Heyman just didn't give two shits, in my opinion.
So they say like he was legit connected.
No.
But see, you're leaning into, you're going off of stories, and I think you're trying to assume that. I don't really want to get too deep.
No, going off stories. I'm going off the idea that he was like an insurance, and he was a wrestling promoter. He just had he had a lot of irons and a lot of fires, and just.
Yeah, but that don't mean that. I mean, you're saying Heyman double crossing him with the NWA title. I mean, that doesn't mean that.
Okay, Heyman, so if I double cross you out of. So if I double crossed you out of a bunch of money, would you retaliate?
I mean, retaliate? What are you talking about? Like, come after you to kill you? Is that what you're trying to say? You think he should have did to Heyman? I'm confused.
No. But I mean, I don't know. Never mind. You don't seem to get it.
Bro, so. I'm not. I don't get it because I mean, I'm not some fucking third world gangster trying to blow somebody's brains out because they beat me out of $10. I mean, obviously, there's more than $10 in this situation, but no, I don't. I mean, it's like you're trying to say, well, damn, Heyman was ballsy to double-cross Dennis Coraluzzo here with the NWA title. Dennis should have went back and put a Glock in his mouth and shot him. I mean, what are you saying? I'm asking a question. See, you don't even know what the hell you were saying.
Bro, you need to back up.
Bro, you watch too many movies and shit, bro.
I've seen The Sopranos, and he's been compared to Tony Soprano on shows that we listened to.
Woke up this morning, there you got yourself a gun. Run, run, run.
There you go.
Okay. Well, we'll keep it. Anything else, Doc?
He's going to be the absolute embodiment of what everybody in that territory thinks somebody from New Jersey is really like. That's what's the most. I mean, you can joke about the mob or the Guido or the Jimmy Hoffa, but just we're here at the spacious offices, and just he is everything that somebody from the South is going to think somebody from New Jersey, because they've never met anybody from New Jersey down there. He's exactly what they're going to think everyone in New Jersey's like, and that's perfect.
He's fitting the stereotype for sure. I love what he said. Spacious and executive office suites, as you look at this office, that there's nothing spacious and executive about it. I mean, you're never going to see a more raggedy-ass desk in office. There's nothing executive there. He comes across as a New York sleazeball, and it's awesome.
He comes across as a New Jersey sleazeball, and there is a difference.
Well, at the end, you obviously can't see it, but he's digging in his nose, too, as he tells the guy to clip this, cut it, and get it sent off. He starts digging in his nose, and it's a nice little touch to end things off. We'll keep going. This was good, though. After that, we got Tim Horner versus Mike Sampson. It's a quick match. Candido was on commentary the entire time, bagging on Horner, and Candido was great on commentary, in my opinion. Horner does get the win, and Candido heads to the ring and starts whipping Candido with his belt. Horner muscles the belt from Candido, though, and starts whooping him back before we go to commercial. Doc, any thoughts on this match?
Like Candido saying, they don't put Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan in baby bottle matches.
Yeah. Good point.
Samson actually got some offense in here, which I was a little surprised about, but that's okay. And man, so we're going to have a New Jersey whipping match. Okay.
New Jersey country whipping match. Harper, anything from you on this one?
Yeah, I was surprised Samson got some stuff in. He got some back elbows in. And kind of got him down, held him down like with an arm lock or whatever. So I was surprised to see that. But fucking Chris Candido sounded good working on a mic.
Yeah, the Candido was real good on the mic, man. The match went like about 5 minutes, man. So they,
yeah.
I wonder at this point if Corny is watching the progression of Candido and Tammy and just going, dude, I got a gold mine sitting here.
I mean, I think he's talked about it before, how I think I've heard him say they picked it up quick and he kind of knew. I want to say I've heard him say that. But anyway, all right, we'll keep going. After this, we go to Down and Dirty with Cornette in bed, followed by Bullet Bob. I'm going to chop this up, play it in a couple different parts. So first off, here's the first part. This is a Cornette in the bed still.
Everybody, welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Attila the Hun, and you're not. Before I talk to my special guest, Bullet Bob Armstrong, I want you to hear some special comments from Jim Cornette and Terry Funk. Watch this.
Tom, have you got Mom on the phone yet?
Well, I'm trying, Jim. They keep putting me on hold. Yeah, this is long distance.
Is she still at the diamond mine in South Africa?
Yeah, she is, Jim. Yeah, they're trying to get through to her. What's... Yes. It's long distance. I keep trying to tell you.
Let me do it. Hey, look here. I'm trying to get a hold of my mother. Well, who's running things down there? Well, who's the head, you bangy? Look, I want her on the phone in 20 minutes. If she don't call me back, then heads are going to roll down there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't mess around with me. Digging a hole in the ground. See what this sounds like. Idiot.
Here's your number.
They can call me back. They're she's out in the field.
Jim.
What, Jimbo?
Jim. Can I have this one? I like it.
Yes, Jimmy, you can have that one.
Thanks.
It'll make you happy. You know, I think you can see that I'm feeling... Now, Jimmy, play later. Play later now. Sit down. I think you can see that I'm feeling a little bit better this week than the last time you saw me. The only thing I've done in the interim period of time is go to SummerSlam. I drug myself up because I'm such a man. I drug myself up out of this deathbed, and I went to SummerSlam, and I watched the Heavenly Bodies get ripped off at the hands of the Steiner Brothers. But the thing is already in the works to bring the Steiner Brothers back here to Smoky Mountain Wrestling to defend those belts. We went to their backyard, Detroit, Michigan, their hometown, with one of those WWF referees and a hometown crowd, and they had all the advantages going their way. But things are going to be a little bit different next time. But as you can see, I'm thinking about September the 12th and September the 17th right here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I've already got my Smoky Mountain Wrestling commissioner's cap on, Bob Armstrong. I'm getting just in the mood to be the commissioner. You know, he was the most well-dressed businessman in history with that clip-on tie, that redneck shirt, and this hat. Well, I assure you, when I wear the commissioner's hat, some heads that are underneath it are going to be rolling, and they ain't going to be mine. Now, you see, Bob Armstrong, you say that you're supposedly the shining knight around here, and you're supposedly Mr. Fair Play and Mr. Honesty and Mr. Integrity, Armstrong family tradition, pay what you owe and pay it on time. Well, I seem to recall a year and a half ago when Smoky Mountain Wrestling got started, there was one hole that you banned, one hole that you said was so devastating, was so crippling, that it could never be used in a professional wrestling ring legally, and that was the pile driver. And you crusaded, and you campaigned, and you fined people like Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and you did everything you could do to stop the use of the pile driver. So what happens when you get in the ring with Jim Cornette in an anything goes match? Not one, but two pile drivers. Well, that's okay, so now we see that you don't practice what you preach. But I'll tell you something about me, Bob Armstrong, and the Heavenly Bodies. We practice what we preach. And we preach death, destruction, and dishonor to the Armstrong family. And that's what's going to happen in these two big matches coming up. If you ever want to be employed again, Bob Armstrong, if you ever want to earn a living for your family again, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to face my challenge. September the 17th in Freedom Hall in Johnson City, you're going to be taking on my secret weapon. Now, if you beat my secret weapon, then I'll have to leave Smoky Mountain Wrestling for good, and of course the Heavenly Bodies would go with me because we're a match set. But if my secret weapon beats you, Bob Armstrong, then you're gone. You're out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You can't wrestle. You can't be the commissioner. You can't do nothing. Who is my secret weapon? Like we've said before, they've been bandying names around. Is it a World Wrestling Federation superstar? Or maybe some wild man that's so crazy like Abdullah the Butcher that he's not even allowed to wrestle for any kind of wrestling organization? Huh? You won't know until September the 17th in Johnson City. But the one thing that you do know is you might not make it that far. Because on September the 12th in Knoxville, at that Civic Coliseum, you got to take on Terry Funk, the wild man, the mad Texan from Amarillo, the guy that's a former NWA world champion, the guy that's crippled people across the country, across the world, an international superstar, and also the most psychotic, deranged individual that I know of in professional wrestling. And you talk about pile drivers, Bob Armstrong. Just think back to a big WCW event just about 3.5 years ago when Terry Funk took Nature Boy Ric Flair and picked him upside down and pile-drived him on a table at ringside and put Flair out of action for 4 months. So now you see that you're not the only guy that can use a pile-driver. Terry Funk can use the pile-driver too, Bob Armstrong. And if he beats you in September the 12th in Knoxville, Tennessee, then I'm going to be the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So you see, after these two matches are over with, one of us is going to be here running the show, and the other one has got to go, Bullet Bob. As I promised.
All right, that was a long one. Harper, what did you have for Corny in the bed, the shenanigans with the gold, the diamond mine, Corny trying to get Mama on the phone at the diamond mine, and then Jimmy begging him for one of the stuffed animals, and Corny tells Jimmy, "Oh, yes, you can have it, Jimmy." And Jimmy smiles and acts like a kid, and he says, "Sit down, Jimmy." Go ahead.
Where he's playing, like, it's the little stuffed rabbit doing a moonsault and all that.
Dude.
Yes.
It's you can hear fucking one of them's fucking make noises and shit.
Yeah, it's the one that's on Dr. Tom's side of the bed.
Dude, I watched that thing walk and walk. Yes. Walk. And I kept waiting for it to, like, fall over or something, man. It kept on going.
So I like that Harper gave us the visual on, while Cordy's talking, Jimmy has got a couple of the stuffed animals, and he's got them wrestling with each other.
He's Corny. Staging Starrcade. He's staging Starrcade 85 over there.
He really is. He really is. And Corny's cutting a promo the whole time. It's remarkable. What else you got, Harper?
Well, when he brought up the old stuff that, like, people may have forgotten about banning the pile driver and and telling Mr. Wonderful, you know, you can't do that shit.
Yeah.
That was a staple of early Smoky Mountain.
Yeah. And it refreshes people's memory. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that shit.
Yep.
I watched a young man get paralyzed, and so we're not going to have that here.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What? Anything else, Harper?
And it was really long.
Yeah, it was long. Doc, what do you have from this?
Well, there's several angles going here. They're fighting the Steiner brothers in WWF on pay-per-views. They're trying to put Bob Armstrong out of wrestling. Jimmy's trying to recreate Starrcade 85 with stuffed animals. Now, Jimmy, play later. And then he just keeps playing. That's the greatest part.
Yeah, he sits down and he's got three stuffed animals, and like Harper said, he's got one doing a moonsault and one crossbodying. It's absurd.
It's the typical stuff a kid would be doing.
Right.
Dude, Delray just stole the spotlight from Corny, and do you know how hard that is to do?
Yeah,
because Corny gave a great promo. If nothing else was happening.
Yeah.
And Del Rey just was like, just awesome. This is, I think, a top 10 moment for me in the run of Smoky Mountain is just that old scene with Corny trying to drive Bob Armstrong out of wrestling and Jimmy Del Rey playing poonsault with the teddy bear. And the whole time I'm wondering, what's Dr. Tom standing there thinking?
Well, like, every now and then Jimmy looks over at Dr. Tom and Jimmy's like, look, you know, he's showing him what he's doing with the stuffed animals. And Dr. Tom kind of nods, but he doesn't really approve it or disapprove. He just kind of just looks and kind of makes like a nod.
I bet my thought was, man, when it was me and Stanfield, we were out banging ass. And now I got a guy over here that's fucking playing with stuffed animals.
And he's missing teeth.
Yeah. And then lost in there is I like how the corny line, Bob Armstrong doesn't practice what he preaches, but we do.
Yeah, you said it though, Doc. There's a lot going on here. You know, they got the announcement about the Heavenly Bodies lost to the Steiners, but the Steiners are probably going to come back to Smoky Mountain to defend the WWF belts. That's real big news. Then you got the whole thing with September 12th, you know, at Knoxville, Bullet Bob faces Terry Funk. If Funk wins, Cornette's commissioner. But then they also tease the September 11th Freedom Hall. You know, if Bob beats Corny Secret Weapon, Bob becomes Smoky Mountain commissioner. So it's just a lot of moving parts there that's going to develop over the next few weeks. Now, with that said, I'm going to keep going because Bullet Bob is now, I think he's in the ring, and he's about to respond to what Cornette just said again. Now remember, Bullet Bob got the cheese from us last week. Bullet Bob was on it, so let's hear it now, what he's got to say this week.
As I promised my special guest, Bullet Bob Armstrong. Now you heard what they said. Now I'm going to ask you something with some journalistic quality to it. You're going to enter into the most dangerous 5-day period of your life, and not only your life, but your wrestling career. Your comments for all the fans in Smoky Mountain.
Well, I'll say this. Jimmy Cornette is trying to take away my right to make a living. And when somebody messes with my rights, I'm going to fight long and hard. I'll fight for anybody's rights long and hard. In fact, when I was a Marine, I fought for all Americans' right to choose their way of doing things. What do you think would happen if Jim Cornette was a commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling? You think? Can you even imagine him being commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling?
Well, me being a journalist, I wouldn't be at liberty to say, but that's your problem, Mr. Armstrong. That's not my problem. Let me tell you one thing. Terry Funk, your first test. Now, it takes a lot of guys 5 days to get out of the bed, but if you are lucky enough to beat Funk, 5 days later, you're going to have to step back in the ring with Cornette's secret weapon. Now, how are you going to handle both tests almost basically at the same time?
Well, you know, you can chase an old dog a long way, but when he gets to his home, he's going to turn and fight you. Well, Smoky Mountain is my home, just like the insignia on this cap says, Smoky Mountain. I've been here since Smoky Mountain started as its commissioner. I didn't ask to be a wrestler. I didn't want to be a wrestler. Cornette messed me up and hurt me bad, and the only way I could get back at him was to become a wrestler again and hurt him. I've done it. That's over with. But now he's spending all the money he's got, all his mother can muster, to hire secret weapons in Johnson City to bring Terry Funk to Knoxville on September 12th. And if I lose this, I don't have another way to make a living. After these contracts are gone, I don't have a way to make a living. I have no more wrestling contracts. So when your back is against the wall, what are you going to do, Dutch Mantell? You're going to fight with all you got, and when you're fighting for the right, you're going to fight real hard. So I'll tell you this. I got a right to make a living. I got a right to be at Smoky Mountain, and I'm going to be here a long time. So you tell Terry Funk to bring his bad self on. I know he's been out there in Texas eating all that Texas beef and getting big and bad. Well, the Bullet's been up here in the mountains eating cornbread, grits, and greens, and I've stayed lean and mean. So, brother, when my welfare is up for grabs, you better know this. Let me answer your question. I'm going to fight till this old body ain't got no breath left in his body, and it's been a pleasure. Yours, of course.
Oh, you think that's good, right? Okay, that's it. Controversial man from a man that I'm going to start saying the most hunted man in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Don't go away. We got to pay some bills. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Real quick, before y'all give y'all thoughts on it, I love Dutch there putting it over even more by mentioning it to the crowd. Oh, y'all think that's good, huh? Nice little touch at the end from Dutch. Just something small, but means a lot. Doc, I went to you, Harper, first last time. Doc, you go first this time on Bullet Bob here.
Well, again, going all the way back to the beginning of this, Dutch welcomed by saying he was Attila the Hun. So last week he was Adolf Hitler. This week he's Attila the Hun. Man, nothing will get some Southern people more fired up than their rights. My right to do something. My right. And I just, I just wonder if when he was over there fighting in the Marines, he was fighting for gay people or black folks or women or Yankees on. Or
why do you got?
I'm just asking. No he other way to make.
He's fighting because he's a proud American. That's
okay.
The
fair side. Enough. I ain't gonna question Bob Armstrong. I don't want to get him mad at me. He might whoop my ass right
He'll
now.
He'll whoop your ass right now.
Yeah, he's what 85 now.
I guarantee you that motherfucker could pluck you and it would hurt. You'd be like, oh.
But if he's got no other way to make a living, might I suggest purchasing Coca-Cola and at a reduced discount and selling it to convenience stores?
Okay.
Hey, but there's always options in life, Bob. We'll get you hooked up with some of the people over in that one town, and they'll get you all hooked up on the pop train.
The pop train. That's great.
Hey, man, this is just, it's just more gold. He's full of meth and grits and greens, and he's going to fight as long as this body will let him, and the people, he's one with the people, and it's been your pleasure, and just, man, I've been saying this all along. He's the guy who's still trying to be cool, and he's hokey, but he's tougher than all you, so you can't really make fun of him to his face. And you kind of have this weird respect for him for trying to be cool and be tougher than you. And it all works.
I love Bullet Bob. I really do.
Man, it's awesome.
Yeah. He got the cheese last week from all of us, man.
And what I wonder about watching these with him in his 50s is, man, I'd like to see some of that shit in Alabama and in Southeastern in the early 80s when he was 10 years younger in his 40s and thumping people on the head.
Can you imagine him in his 30s?
I've seen a match. I saw a match about a year ago on Southeastern. I found a him and Flair. It was worth watching, pal.
I hear you. Harper, you got anything to add to Bullet Bob here? As he's got these people in the palm of his hands.
It's fucking great, man. Right. Is it just me or the crowd was very... I mean, you could have dropped the fucking pen.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you remember the last one, they were really, really up. I don't know. This is a second taping at this point. So they're starting to probably get tired. Next week's the third taping in the same venue. You got to remember that every time. So they're really up. The first time these guys come out, they're getting more applause and they're getting more boos because it's the first time they're seeing them. That's the challenge you have whenever you got a TV tape and you got three tapings in one night. By the time they come out to cut their second, third, and maybe even fourth promos, it's that old thing where, Harper, you and I know when you work a show, I don't like going out more than once because they've seen
they
you.
They get tired of looking at you. Yeah.
They do. It's just how it is, and it's that old thing where it's like, you know, that's why I hate promoters who constantly fucking show their face on their own show. It's like just because they just feel like they got to be out there the whole time. No, you don't. Go out one time and that's it. So that's the challenge you face. And in this situation, you can't do that because you got three tapings going on. So they've been out there, you know, this is his second time, maybe even third at this point. I may have lost count. But so they've seen him once already. He cut that great one last week where they were on fire. So now he's got to do it again next week. The promo was just, this promo was fine, but they were a little bit more subdued because they had already seen him come out there and spit fire last week.
Hey, man, I try to tell my five-year-old, that joke was funny the first time you told it. The second time, it ain't funny no more.
Yeah. It's kind of the same concept.
It's called the law of diminishing utility, pal.
There you go. But again...
Hey, I did a little research while you were talking. I did a little research while you were talking. You want to hear something that's depressing?
What?
This is episode 84, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have 29 more episodes with Dutch.
Why would you say that right now? I don't.
That's nice.
Come on, Doc. Damn. Well, that's still another 6 months, so I guess that's not too bad. But I don't like you saying that to me right now.
I don't like having to report it, pal. I don't. The reporter's job covering the event
is not to tell you what you want to hear. It's to tell you the truth.
It's such an inside joke. We're gonna have to do a we're gonna have to do a patron only episode on that. The covering the event bullshit. Oh my god, that's a great one. I love when you.
That's
use
a
that.
Blast from the past too.
That really is a blast from the past, from the first year of BTT. We'll keep going here. This was really good, Harper. You didn't have anything else, did you?
Nah, we can go. We can move on.
Here's the thing, though. And you know, let me just say this. Smoky Mountain has a rich history of paying off big angles or surprises or things or everything they do. We get a payoff to this thing.
Oh, yeah.
There ain't no way out of here without something big happening. I mean, we're up against it here because something's got to give.
And let me tell you something. A second ago, Corny mentioned the Steiners. I don't think this is a spoiler at this point. You are going to see the Steiners, and I think I can't remember if I said it last week or the week before or even earlier on. You're going to see the Steiners in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You are going to see the Steiners.
We just saw Bubba. We just saw Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Now we're going to see the Steiners.
I know, huh? Fuck.
Yep.
Who's next?
Well, I can't tell you, but it's another big name, and it's like in 2 weeks.
So, right now, though...
No spoilers, but it's huge.
Right now, though, the next match is Bobby Blaze with Primetime Brian Lee versus Primetime
Well, not
Brian
so
Lee
huge
Tammy
now,
Fitch.
I guess.
Oh, stop it. Bobby's a good dude.
What?
Hey, did you see... Before we get into the match, did you see that dirtbag on the front that was going crazy with long hair in the entrances?
Yes.
What the hell was wrong with that guy? He gets some bad meth?
Oh, that guy? Yeah, he must have just been like play, kind of like going along with it.
Yeah,
huh?
I think he was just going along
with
the show.
I hope so.
I do too. Fuck. Well, Bobby and Primetime Brian Lee are out there. Bobby got some nice air with that crossbody over the top rope to the floor on the Primetime
Brian Lee.
He sure did. You know, you don't think of Bobby as a flyer, but I mean, he got up and nailed it. While the match is going on, Dutch is
Isn't that the move where like he kind of popped Caudle on that too?
Yeah, I don't think Caudle expected it. While the match is going on, Dutch is selling the matches with Bob Armstrong versus Cornette's Mystery Apartment and Bob Armstrong versus
Apartment.
Funk.
Yeah.
I said
the
apartment.
The one downtown.
I said apartment.
Yeah.
My bad. The one downtown? Oh, okay. Carry to one plus two equals three. Okay, Dutch made me laugh on commentary when he said the IRS has been hounding him, and Caudle says, if you aren't nicer, I'm going to give them your number. I popped. That's why I'll miss Dutch when Dutch is gone. Again, they're just very underrated as a commentary team. Bobby looks like he's maybe going to get the win, but Primetime Brian Lee catches Bobby coming off the top rope and then slams Bobby in. Primetime Brian Lee retains the Smoky Mountain title. Harper, what did you think about the match?
Man, fucking Bobby, come on, man.
It was competitive, at least.
It's the first time we saw him in like a month, huh?
TV episodes, yeah. Now, keep in mind, he did just come off the win against Dirty White Boy in that match where they did the, if he could last 10 minutes, he got $100 a minute. So he was a part of that big show, but, you know, they don't televise that. That's the only thing. So, but I
guess
I don't
he
think
must
we've
have been
seen
all spending, I guess he was all spending up all that money, man.
It must have been. He was working the house shows, though. He was working those during this time.
He probably went to Mervin's, bought some blue jeans.
Mervin's.
Yeah.
Mervin's. Jesus Christ, Harper.
Man, that place?
Yes, I do. God. Good God. They had a place, I assume it was everywhere. They had a place called Zayers in New Orleans. Jesus
Christ. God! No one remembers that place.
I've never heard of that. Never heard of that, pal.
I remember it. God, that place was like, it was basically like your Kmart kind of type deal. There, fuck. All right, we'll keep going. Doc, what'd you have from the match?
I think Bobby's looking more and more comfortable on TV every week, and he certainly looked like he belonged in there with Primetime. And it was a good little match.
Yeah, it is. Now, after the match, we go to Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy, but it's followed by Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy. And we got some interesting stuff that's happening right here. Let's give it a listen.
Primetime Brian Lee, Tammy Fitch right here, fans. And, of course, she's got that heavyweight champion belt. You just saw another defense of that. Tracy Smothers, Tracy says he's going to be back in 3 weeks now. What about that?
You know, we crippled Tracy Smothers. We crippled him. I can't believe he's coming back. You know, the reason he is coming back is because he just can't stay away from me.
Exactly right.
He loves me so much, he can't stay away from me. That's the only reason he's coming back. He won't be able to walk when he comes back, but he can't resist me. He's going to come back and try to molest me again.
Tracy Smothers, it's like I said before. You make an excuse. You say you want the belt. You say you want primetime Brian Lee. You're nothing but a pervert. Even with your legs broken, boy, you're going to crawl back like all these slimy rednecks would do just to get their hands and just get a glimpse of this beautiful thing here. She's primetime Brian Lee's, and I put you out for $25,000. It's my money, and you're not getting a dime back, dirty white boy. So don't think you are. Tracy Smothers, you're through, and you're not coming back. And I think
No. Three weeks from the time of the injury, not even six. What about it? He's going to do it.
He's not coming back in 3 weeks. I'm telling you, I broke his leg. I broke Tracy Smothers' leg. She was an eyewitness. She was there. Everybody's there.
Wait a minute. Here comes the dirty white boy. What about the white boy in a cage? The white boy's going to be in a cage.
I want Ron's money. I mean, the money. Ron wants his money back right now.
It's like I just said. The money's spent. The
what?
Money's already spent.
You spent the money.
No. Wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute. Hold on. Give me the microphone. Wait a minute. The money isn't spent. What Brian means is that it's as good as money in the bank. You don't have to worry about it. Because Tracy won't be coming back. Listen, calm down. If Tracy comes back...
There's the money in my pocket.
Listen, if Tracy comes back, we'll just take care of him again like we did the first time. Don't worry about it. It's not spent. Brian just... He misworded that. He's coming back. We have a match with him, and we'll take care of him again. Listen, we need to go talk somewhere. Let's go talk.
All right, she going to take Ron. They're going to go off. They're going to talk. They're going to discuss this situation.
They're going to talk, huh?
And there they go. Dirty White Boy and Primetime Brian Lee. Hey, we'll be right back after this.
They will go talk. So let's not break.
What's that code word for?
Let's not break kayfabe. Bron about to go get a blowjob back there.
Come on. He probably can't even move his stick anymore.
Nah, he's not that
he's
old.
He's only in his 50s, pal.
Right.
Yeah, but he's stuck in that fucking wheelchair.
That don't mean nothing. That dick works.
How would you know?
I don't know. I don't even know why I said that.
That sure sounded confident, though.
Like I know, like I've actually seen it in action, right?
He has some personal experience.
Now, Ron was a big heel in that area, man, but I still bet he crushed his fair share.
Dude, he was a married man.
That's true, too. I shouldn't say that. because married, being married men stops guys like Ricky Morton, right?
I think there's probably a potential difference between Ricky Morton and Ron Wright.
I still never get tired of hearing
it, and I don't know how I can help you.
I never get tired of hearing the story about Ricky Morton when him and his wife were watching the 700 Club, and Tully Blanchard broke kayfabe and starts talking about all the rats that Ricky banged, and he's sitting there with his wife, and Ricky's like, "What the fuck?" He's like, "Why would you do that to me on national TV on the 700 Club just because you found God? You gonna rat me out? Fuck!" Ah, that was so great. Oh boy. But anyway,
let's don't bury the lead here. Tammy was booking the territory right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. She booked it there. I agree. So let's cover it. Harper, what did you have? Oh, go ahead, Doc. You
so
first.
Can you imagine 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, when she came in or whatever it was, did she be able to pull this off? I mean, she's in a scene with the dirty white boy and Ron Wright, and we're saying she held her own and booked the territory. That's pretty fascinating with how awkward she was 10 weeks ago.
Oh, it's tremendous, man, the way she's progressed. We said it a few times. What else you got, Doc?
I thought Primetime Brian Lee was good at the beginning of this, actually.
And I just wonder what they're going to talk about backstage. I mean, what's the contingency plan?
Ain't going to be much talking.
Oh-ho.
Harper, what did you have from this?
I like what she says. Oh, no, he just misspoke, Ron.
He just
misspoke. Like, these people know what the fuck that means.
Jeez.
Damn, Harper's Flynn heel shit.
It's true.
Oh, boy.
I think what Harper's trying to tell you people is there's a different kind of intelligence. I mean, y'all could rip off, like, the government on your welfare, but it's not like you understand vocabulary words.
Oh, my God. Harper, what else do you have from this?
That's nice. I love when he's like, that money should be in my pocket.
It should.
It should. Well, you shouldn't have gave it to him, Ron. Good God. Yeah. Well, I like, look, more threats to Smothers. She calls him a pervert. Hashtag Me Too movement. And then Primetime Brian Lee mentions how he put out Smothers and Dirty White Boy needs to shut up. They're obviously not happy. At the end, you can't see this in the audio. Tammy rolls Ron away in his wheelchair as they're about to go, quote-unquote, talk. And as Tammy's rolling them away, Dirty White Boy and Primetime Brian Lee stare at each other with this confused look on their face like, well, what the fuck they going to talk about? Which I thought was a great little visual at the end there. So I wanted to point that out.
And it is so perfect for those people to see this. She's a gold digger angle. Just like Corluzzo is the perfect...
Right.
New Jersey, she is everything that Smothers is telling us that she is.
I'm right there with you with that.
So before you throw it to the next segment, let me just say this again, because we started off with this. I'm not the only one singing Smooth Up In You in their head at this point, am I?
Fuck no.
Harper, we got Ricky Morton coming out against who?
Smooth Up In Ya. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Ricky Morton versus Jimmy Del Rey. Dr. Tom does come out. Then Gibson comes out, too, to make sure the odds are even outside of the ring. I don't have a ton of notes. You got anything, fellas, before I give away the finish, Doc?
You first. Bob was saying something, and Dutch goes, Bob, I can see why you're worried about your job if Corny is commissioner. You're biased. So again, more I thought this was a good match. These two guys are fun.
Yeah.
I mean, they're real fun to watch together, and you just know and are waiting for the shenanigans to start, though.
Yep. Harper, anything before I go to the finish?
No, let's go.
So Morton has Del Rey rolled up for the pin, but Dr. Tom jumps to the ring apron. Ricky, after having Del Rey pinned for more than a three count, gets up to punch Dr. Tom. As Morton punches Tom, Del Rey takes a chain out of his trunks. When Morton turns around, Del Rey punches Morton. Looks like in the throat, Morton goes down and is pinned, and we have a new Smoky Mountain Wrestling Beat the Champ TV title champion. He is Smooth Up In Ya! Jimmy Del Rey is the new Beat the Champ TV champion. Doc, any thoughts on the finish?
Man, Del Rey did it good. He got that chain way up high where everybody could see him wrap that sumbitch around his hand.
Yep.
There was no mystery about what was happening. Del Rey, I mean, this is a smart move, I think, because they're trying to establish him as, I mean, when you have Dr. Tom, Gibson, and Morton, and Del Rey, which one of these isn't like the other one? It's Del Rey, so they got to get him established. So getting a win like that is important to do that. I think that $1,000 will help him get some new speakers in his Trans Am that Harper said he owns. And
probably.
Maybe some, a preamp that he can really get the Bullet Boys going cranking with and loud, you know, back
then. Back then, he might fucking spend about $1,000 and get a fucking CD player and fucking 93. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Six disc changer, so he can listen.
Oh, fuck.
So he can listen to the Bullet Boys, and maybe some Two Live Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
And I
am real nervous about where that check's going to go next, physically speaking.
Okay.
That poor check, yeah, that poor check is going down his tights.
Dude, he just shoves him right down to his dick. And through those promos, I'm just watching like, oh, God.
That poor check.
Imagine what that fucking envelope must smell like.
Badussy. That shit had Badussy juice all over it. God damn. Imagine him going to the bank teller and pulling that shit out. And the bank teller's like, oh, Jesus Christ, what's that stench? Well,
I want to get this tens.
Can I cash this? Jesus, what's that smell? I could be last night's Badussy. Oh, my God. Jimmy Del Rey, everyone. Okay, well, we'll keep going. I am going to play the local promo. However, first, I want to remind everyone, if you are not a patron, please consider becoming one by going to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. It is a great way to support the show on a monthly basis. You get access to all of the patron-only content. We're well over 50 episodes now that are strictly patron-only content that you can get for as little as $2 a month. If you can do more, please do more. Hell, even consider becoming a Hall of Fame patron and do upwards of 9 if you can. If not, $2 a month, and we would appreciate it. So there you have it. tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Also, don't forget to go buy Bobby Blaze's book or anything else off of Amazon. Just go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. That is another great way to support the show without spending anything extra.
Hold on. What did we say yesterday? That there was either one person at work or we just should, like, at your new employee orientation, we should hand out Pin Me, Pay Me for people.
That would be awesome if you handed out Bobby's Pin Me, Pay Me book at every corporate company's orientation. I mean, a lot. You know what? People would actually be a lot more productive, I think, if they knew and understood. They would be like, all right, I know what it is. Pin Me, Pay Me.
Yeah, let's just get it. Let's just cut the chase.
Let's
stop the bullshit.
Yep. So again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. You can get anything and everything there. Give it to your wives, girlfriends, whoever you know that, you know, shops on Amazon, which is pretty much anybody these days. We'll keep going now. I got to play this local promo because this shit is another Tim Horner glory moment.
God.
Here it is. I won't play the Armstrongs, but I will play
Horner. That's fine. I don't need, whatever.
Here's Tim Horner with Brian
Matthews.
Here
it comes.
Yeah, here it comes.
And Tim Horner against the suicide blonde, Chris Candido.
That's right, Brian, a country whipping match, and let me explain it to you. It goes like this. We've got straps on both our wrists, but they're not connected, which means I can slap you at any time I want to. Matter of fact, since we get in the ring, I'm going to slap you. But what you should do, Candido, is pack your bag full of Pampers so you can stick them in your trunks so when this leather hit, it don't hurt as bad, but it won't help you none because I'm going to swap your legs and your back and your neck and everything I can get a hold of right there at Paintsville.
Friday, October 1st, is the Big Apple.
Okay, Doc.
What did he say, swap?
I don't.
Is he trying to say slap and swat at the same time?
I don't know what the hell he was trying to accomplish.
Man, all it made me want to do is buy a ticket and watch Candido swing some leather.
Yeah, put him down, man. Good God. Harper, anything you had from that when he got twisted in his words for a second?
He's fucking wearing that fucking white t-shirt and a backwards hat. He looks like some guy that, like, you know, changes oil at fucking Pep Boys, who fucking just got off of work and he got into a car and just put his fucking hat on backwards to fucking ride home.
See, accurate. I don't even think he's that. I think he is the guy that actually wants to hang out and be cool like that, but went to community college and actually wants to also be smart, but can't get either one of them right. So he can't go get a shoot job like in accounting somewhere in Morristown, but he also really couldn't change any oil.
Just choked me up on that one. Oh, fuck. All
He's
right.
He's going to be county commissioner.
So he wants to wear a golf shirt and khakis at the Chamber of Commerce mixer, but he also wants to be able to turn his hat on backwards and hang out with the boys and sell Cokes to convenience stores.
I assume so. Let's keep going so we can get to the end of this one. We got up next is a promo. It's with Dr. Tom and Jimmy Del Rey, and here it is.
All right, fans, we'll be right now here at ringside. Of course, the Heavenly Bodies, Tom Pritchard, Jimmy Del Rey.
That's right.
Tom, you guys, I tell you, it looks like it doesn't matter what the organization is or where it is. You're after championships, you're after belts, you're after everything.
That's right. We've proved to the entire wrestling world that we don't care if it's WCW or the World Wrestling Federation. We will go anywhere. We're going to get all the titles, all the money. We're going to get all the women. And you can see we just got another $1,000. And my cousin is still the TV Beat the Champ champion. Jim Cornette is coming along very nicely. He's going to be okay. But we want to tell you something else. We went to the Steiners' hometown. We went to your place, Steiners, Detroit, Michigan. We took the challenge, but now we're issuing a challenge of our own. If you've got the guts, come down here to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and we'll show you. You can walk in the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions, but I guarantee you, you won't walk out the champions. And as for the Rock and Roll Express, we just showed you one more time what they're about. We just showed you that they are washed up. They're nothing. My cousin and myself can beat the Rock and Roll Express any day of the week. And in fact, if they were here right now, we'd show them exactly what we were made of.
You're right? Stinking right, Rock and Roll.
Well, here they are, fans, the Rock and Roll Express. And there go the Heavenly Bodies.
Oh, we're here, Bob Cuddle. I guess one thing you found out, Jimmy Ray, that I'm like a Tom X. I take a licking and I keep on a ticking. Because I'm known for getting my behind kicked. But you see, a hot cup of soup and a good night's sleep, and you gotta do it again. But the only thing about it is Bruce Brothers, you can come out here and talk to the whole world about how big and bad you are. But you got us back against the wall right now. Our hair's at stake. But what's on our mind is those Smoky Mountain Tag Team belts. And as for you, Jimmy Cornette, with their Heavenly Bodies, you come out here and talk all this garbage about WWL. Oh, yeah, you went up there. But you know the funny thing about it is, Robert, they arrived up there to have a big, long limousine. But you know, Jimmy Real Day and Tom, they got in a fight. He's going to ride in the front seat. But you know better than that, Jimmy Cornette split them both. They let him drive. But that don't mean nothing to us, Cornette. Because if you do win the World Wrestling Federation titles, only thing you're going to do is lose them to the Rock and Roll Express. Like I told you many times before, way on back in the year, we already ran one of the Heavenly Bodies out of here, Stan Lane. And it won't be nothing else to run Jimmy Dale and Tom Pritchard in the one. Because we don't care. Rock and Roll's here to stay. We're not here to play.
All right, fans. Rock and Roll Express. That's going to wrap it up for this week.
All right, Harper, this is kind of two parts. You know, you got the...
Yeah, I mean, Rick Support just kind of, almost kind of rambled on about the limousine. And
yeah, he did.
Arguing who sits up in front. I'm like, what? Huh? What?
I did like his line about the Timex watch, because that was a big thing back in the day where it takes a licking to keep on ticking.
That's so dated.
It is. It's so dated. It really
well, he
is.
Probably didn't think some... three jackasses would be sitting around 25 years later talking about this shit.
Whatever. He didn't think that. What else you got, Harper?
Oh, and I love how they mentioned WCW, WWE, because it's...
F.
WWF, and it's true. I mean, you see them pop up on WCW, right? Back in the day. And then you saw them on WWE, so... there is truth to what he's saying.
Yeah.
I thought Dr. Tom was lights out, except for one flub where he said Jimmy Del Rey is still the champ because he just won it. But that's a small nit. I thought in another week with less things going on, Dr. Tom would have got the government cheese right there. I thought he was on it. We're going to take all the gold, all the women. We'll go anywhere and beat anybody. Yeah. And here's where it all is. We'll go hit to this big organization. We'll go to that big organization. We don't give a shit.
Man, they were on it. Fuck.
Because you know what? Dr. Tom's probably sitting there thinking, this is my ticket out of this Eastern Tennessee to a big payday. And guess what? It ended up being that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because look who then he ends up. Well, I don't know if he was. I don't know, Doc. It's kind of. You're kind of accusing him of saying, oh, this is my big ticket. But I think he was already that good. This was just an opportunity to really show it. I mean, I don't think he purposely was like, oh, I want to get out of this shithole.
In this time period, they're showing out everywhere they go because it's like, dude, they end up getting a kick out of this.
You know, for a guy who's done so much for so many guys' careers, he doesn't seem to brag about it. If you ever hear any of his interviews, you'll never hear him talk about how what he did with guys like The Rock and all the people he trained. And I mean, he had a hand in so many stars, and you never hear him brag about it. The dude is like humble, man. It's the most insane thing you'll ever see in wrestling. You know, for somebody who, I guarantee you, most people as wrestling, I don't say most people, but your average wrestling fan never understood how good he was before they heard about him training all these stars like The Rock.
I bet you there's a whole bunch of hillbillies in the South right now going, we knew.
Well, no, they knew. People in Houston and people in, like, I don't say Mid-South because he did a lot of advancement talent stuff. Southeastern, Continental, like, they knew. But not, I mean, your average WWF fan was like, oh, the dude from the Heavenly Bodies? Oh, Zip from the fucking Body Donnas?
Uh-huh.
You know, they didn't think like that about Dr. Tom. And little do you know, like, how much influence he had behind the scenes with the future stars at that point. I mean, it's insane when you really break it down. So I agree, Doc. Dr. Tom was on it here. Anything else as we look forward to now seeing the Steiners coming down from Smoky Mountain or to Smoky Mountain from the WWF?
I would argue that the Steiners as a team were at the height of their powers in like 90 to 92, maybe in WCW. Mm-hmm. But they ain't far off of that here, and they're in WWF, and those two boys can go and mix it up. I'm ready to see something.
Yeah, but you forget too, they end up in WCW also later on, and they have another decent run in a
month. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm talking about people forget how over they were in those early 90s.
Here's the thing. They were a WWF tag team, but in my mind, they're always going to be Southern Wrestling, a Southern Wrestling tag team.
To me, they're always WCW guys.
I agree. Or as I say, if you don't want to say WCW, they're Southern Wrestling. They're a Southern Wrestling tag team is my point, in my eyes, just for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care how much Road Warriors went up to WWF. They're still a Southern Wrestling tag team.
Yes.
All right, so we will keep going and do some disability checks. Who wants to go first?
Why don't you go first?
Yeah, okay. You smelt it.
Yeah.
875.
What?
What are you giving it, Doc?
Well, I am going
to... This is why I don't want to go first, because here we go. It's the same shit from you. He's going to give this long soliloquy about how he either overrated it or underrated it. Same fucking shtick every week.
Well, no, I'm going to give you... Again, I'm here to cover the event, so I'm going to give you facts. I think you're a little high on your score.
Here we go.
But I will admit this. I'm raising mine up a couple, and I've done this a couple of times on the way. I'm raising mine up for my initial score a couple of points just because the conversations we had made me think I missed a couple of things or it was more fun than maybe I gave it credit for. So I'm going to land a lot of stuff going on, man. Good episode. We are back up. It's running now. We're hot. Give me an 8.3.
Once again, underrates a good episode that had nothing but fucking solid stuff in it.
I just want to give it just a regular 8.
See?
Yeah.
Harper and I think about this way more like you're the odd one out every week.
It wasn't bad, but, you know,
let me run it down for y'all.
All right, do that.
Yeah, because you know what? Here's the deal.
Everything except the Bruise Brothers and Kevin Sullivan was really, really, really good. There was Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright with Smothers. There was Dennis Coraluzzo. That was followed by Down and Dirty with Cornette in the Bed, and then Bullet Bob cutting another gem. That was followed by Primetime Brian Lee, Tammy promo, followed by Ron and Dirty White Boy, where Tammy goes and gives Ron a blowjob in the back. It's a joke. Everybody knows I'm just keeping kayfabe. That was followed by a horrible Tim Horner promo we got a good chuckle at. We're an hour and a half into this shit, and then we get Tom and Del Rey at the end. So I think y'all are severely underrating an episode that had a ton of great promos in it.
Shut up.
And Harper knows I'm right now.
No, if you can't, this is your problem.
Okay.
You walk in the room and can't spot the shithead and can't realize that it's you.
No, I always walk in a room. Yeah. I always walk in a room, and the shithead I notice is Doc Turner. Every single time.
Right, pal. All right. So are you gonna do some shameless bullshit so we can give out some cheese?
Yeah, we need to do the government cheese. Thanks to the Hall of Fame patrons first. At rsmith9000, at 945 sportsbeat, aka Big Rich, Jesse Lucas, Joe Ice, at mpru83, Alice, Ari Miller 39, at justin_andretti, Jay Shiny 21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider 91 US, Shep Daddy 32, Harper's Best Friend, USC 49ers Dodger, Gerald Green 30, T Hog 94, SV Pageant, Martin Howell 71, Tim Moretti, Coldman 82, Gobbled Unreal, Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. Let's go to the government cheese now. I went first on the disability checks. Doc, you go first on government cheese.
Man, he authored one of my favorite moments of Smoky Mountain history. Give me Jimmy Del Rey for stuffed animal Royal Rumble, dude.
Harper, who are you giving yours to?
I want to give it to Sonny, to Tammy.
She was pretty good, dude.
Yeah, man.
Actually, that's who I had, Tammy. Because there was a couple things that she did there. The local promo, for one, and then when she seduced Ron. The apple, what did you say, Harper? The apple what?
What did you say? The fucking, the big apple grapple?
Yeah, it was.
We're going to play with apples?
What the fuck?
Yeah, that was some craziness. That was funny. I gave mine to Tammy, but I gave mine to Tammy more for when she had to settle Ron down and say, come on, Ron, let's go talk in the back. Talk, huh?
I got a bottle of lotion. Let's go talk.
Poor Tammy. I hope she's out of jail by the time this airs.
Come on.
No, man. I don't mean she got arrested, dude. I don't mean that in a bad way. We love Tammy.
Let's bail her out, but she has to be on the podcast.
There you go. See?
We love Tammy, man. I mean, I'm not trying to, bag on Tammy. Tammy's wonderful. Anyway, let's keep going.
I'm
going
to let you hang out there by yourself on that one.
So, we are, as of this recording, I think 29 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts away from the Ask BTT Broad Logic show, or Ask BTT Broads. So if you haven't given us a five-star review on iTunes yet or Apple Podcasts, whatever the hell it's called, go there, give us a five-star review. We'd appreciate it. And then don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper's at CJH. Who dat? And then our Facebook page is facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. While you're there, hitting like, click the shop now button, go to the Pro Wrestling Tees store. Lastly, we got Doc Turner's t-shirts up at the Tee Public store. What's it called? Docaholic for Life is up now, so go check it out. All of the links I just mentioned are in the show description, so check it out there, and you'll be able to access every single one of our stores, whether it's Pro Wrestling Tees or Tee Public. And I think that's all I got. We ran long again on this one because it was such a good episode, and you guys underrated it. Doc, you got anything else before we get out of here?
We got to do another one of these. Let's go.
Yeah. Harper, anything?
No.
All right. Harper, hit the tagline. Take us home.
Fucking book it, bitch.